Good morning, LifePoint. Crazy news. Listen, if you're new here, I don't know if you can understand for me how important this is and what an exceptionally exciting day, but today's a day I probably will not forget. I've been pastor at New Life OSU for 13 years. We helped plant a church and I've served as the pastor there, and I've absolutely loved collegiate ministry. I think just watching college students fall in love with Jesus, watching them take their first steps, watching them become leaders of other students. You know, we've sent hundreds of students all over the world in mission trips. We have former students serving in Africa, in the Middle East, and in India. We have former students that are serving in a church plant at the University of Pittsburgh. And we have many students who come out of New Life OSU and they serve in their local churches all over, and some right here at LifePoint, former New Lifers. And I gotta be honest with you, it was extremely difficult to let go of that ministry. But I started to sense maybe 4 or 5 years ago that God was preparing me to be part of a family ministry, a mission to reach communities with the gospel. And over many, many prayers and seeking wisdom from people and people who influenced my life, I just got the sense that it was time. And so 2 years ago, I started to mentor another person to take over my role at New Life. And after all of those prayers and that time, I'm humbled to be here before you as part of the North American Mission Board placed at LifePoint. And we're super excited and exploring the idea of planting a LifePoint campus in Westerville. So I'll be talking more about that, I'm sure, over time, but I'm super excited. So listen, if you're from Westerville, my family and I are gonna be moving there sometime in the next year or so. We would love to meet you. We would love to hear about the schools, about the community itself, just, you know, where's a good place to buy. So if you're from Westerville, we'd love to meet you. So just keep that in the back of your mind. And also, it's just, I'm super excited to be walking with LifePoint. So thanks for having me. Also this summer, I have another really big thing happening. On August 1st, Tammy and I have been married 19 years. So, yes. I think you're clapping more for me than her, but you know, nevertheless. So, I don't know if you're like me. Some of the guys I know do this, but you know, I might just be quirky in this, but I keep pictures of Tammy and I around from when we first started dating. So I have pictures in my office, like 3 or 4 of them. I have a picture in my Bible of Tammy when we first met, and I have one in my wallet. You know, I just like to keep pictures around. Here's actually a picture of us when we first started dating. I show that picture for 2 reasons. One is, you single dudes with no fashion sense, there's hope. I'm just telling you. Secondly, isn't that mustache glorious? I mean, come on, seriously. I was pre-hipster, you know what I'm saying? Listen, you know, the Bible actually says to remember the wife of your youth. Now, it doesn't mean remember that she was young. You remember the person that God brought into your life. That time when you were praying, God, please put this precious gift in my life. I remember begging God, let her say yes, you know? You remember that as you move forward in your marriage, because you never want to take for granted the gift that God has brought into your life. In this series, Iron, you know, we're talking from this passage in Proverbs 27:17, where it says, as iron sharpens iron, so shall one man sharpen another. And in this series, we're talking and directing this message towards men to sharpen them, but it's applicable to everybody. So Dean shared last week that the I for iron stands for initiate, and he challenged us to initiate with our wives. And I remembered this week, the wife of my youth, as I was trying to remember, hey, she just needs a shoulder right now. She doesn't need to hear what I have to say. I was challenged to ask her a few questions this week about, you know, how I can give her more energy or how I can create more security for her. And I just think it's important because here's the thing, what you remember and believe to be true impacts the way you live. What you remember and believe to be true impacts the way you live. This week, as part of the Iron series, the R stands for remember the gospel. Now, remember Jesus, on the night before he was crucified, when he was serving the Passover to his disciples, he broke the bread and said, this is my body that's been broken for you. And as he poured the cup, he said, this is my blood which has been shed for you. When you take it, remember me. He was telling them that he wanted them to remember what he was doing for them through the gospel. The gospel means good news. You and I were made to be in relationship with God. He has always wanted people to be his people and to be their God. The problem is that you and I, we both sin. And because of that sin, we are not holy. And because God is holy, there's been a break in the relationship. Now listen, when you talk to people about God, you start to sense that in people and we can feel it. That tension is because of sin. We recognize that there's something between us and God. But he sends his own son down to die on a cross to pay the penalty for that sin so that we wouldn't be held accountable to sin and we'd have the opportunity to be made right with God. Then when we take that step and we respond to the gospel, it's incredible news for us because we are made right with God forever. That's the beauty of the gospel. And what Jesus was saying is, I want you to remember that. And what you remember about the gospel and believe to be true is gonna impact your life. So if you are one of these people that you believe, you know, I have already responded to the gospel and I've been following Christ with my life, let me sharpen you because it still impacts your life today. And if you're here and you feel that tension and you're not sure exactly how the gospel impacts your life, my prayer all week has been that this message would help you to see how the gospel impacts your life. So if you have a Bible, open up to Colossians chapter 4, and I'm just gonna walk through a few verses. And as I walk through it, I'm gonna share a couple ideas that God has put in my mind to share. And I'm praying that somehow God will make clear to all of us how the gospel impacts our life. Now, it's in Colossians chapter 4, Paul's writing this letter to the church. He's in prison at the time. And the first thing I wanna say about it is this, is that the importance of the gospel supersedes my circumstances. The importance of the gospel supersedes my circumstances. Here's what it says in chapter 4, verse 2. Paul writes, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. So he's writing to people who he assumes have a relationship with God. That as you connect to God, you pray, you talk to him, and you watch for his activity in your life. And as you see him interacting in your life, you are grateful and thankful for what he's doing. These people have a personal relationship with God. And here's what he says in verse 3. And pray for us too. Now look. You have to ask yourself, Paul is the greatest missionary in history. One of the most influential people on behalf of the gospel who's ever lived. And if he's writing to the people saying, I want you to pray for me, what is so important that he would ask for prayer? And here's what it says. Pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I'm in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Now, it's interesting, he's praying that he would have an open door for this message, for the mystery of Christ. And it's easy to figure out what that is. If you go back to Colossians chapter 1, you know, he kind of outlines the fact that the gospel is present there in chapter 1, that Christ came in the flesh, God in the flesh, to pay the penalty for our sin. And he goes on and says this, verse 26 in chapter 1, the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the saints. To them, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. This message, which is incredible, had signs. Like, there were clues that God gave. I'll give you just one, for instance. Think about the Passover itself. You know, the people of Israel celebrated the Passover every year, but it had its roots right back in Egypt when they were in slavery and they were crying out to God, send us a deliverer. So God sent Moses, and remember all the plagues? Remember the last plague? The firstborn male is gonna die in all of Egypt. But he gave the Israelites a way out. He said, look, I want you to sacrifice a perfect lamb. Sacrifice him to me and take the blood and put it over the doorpost. And then when the angel of death comes over, he will pass over that house. Then all the firstborn males will be spared in that home. He will pass over. And then he commanded the people of Israel to celebrate that every year, year in and year out. Why? So that when the true Lamb of God came, who takes away the sins of the world, they would go, I got it now. The mystery would be made clear. And that's the beauty of what he's saying, that this mystery is made clear in us, that we realize instead of trying to earn our salvation, you know, hopefully if we keep the laws and if we do enough right things, that somehow God will think that we're okay with him. Instead of that, we can have Christ in us. That as we respond to the gospel, he puts his Holy Spirit in us and we are made right with God. That's the beauty of the gospel. He's praying that it would be clear, and it supersedes his circumstances simply by this. He's praying that a door would be opened for the message. Now, what's interesting about that is he's in prison. You know, I mean, wouldn't you think he'd say, guys, here's what I want you to pray. Like, I know you got a lot going on, but I'm in prison. Could you pray that I get out? He didn't pray that. He said, I want you to pray that a door would be open. Now he's saying, look, I want this message to get out and not to fall on deaf ears. I want people to be awake to the gospel and receive the message. Look, in Philippians 1, he's in prison. Here's what he writes. Chapter 1, verse 12 says, now I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I'm in chains for Christ. He actually was celebrating being in prison because he had an opportunity to communicate the gospel to the whole palace guard. Can you imagine? When you remember the gospel and you believe it to be true, it impacts the way you live and it supersedes your circumstances. Look, I don't know if you're here today and you're a Cavs fan and like you're riding the wave, right? Or you lost a lot of money in the market this past week. Like no matter what your circumstances are, the gospel supersedes that. The message is that important. Let me tell you what it looks like for me. So we've been praying for a long time about this next phase that God has for us and, you know, praying that God would open up a door for the gospel in Westerville. And, you know, here's the thing. I've been in collegiate ministry for 16 years. And during that time, I've always been bivocational. I started a company 16 years ago and I always had that income so to kind of supplement the income for collegiate ministry because it's just difficult. So doing those together, it's kind of like a shoestring budget, to be honest with you. So I'm always a little bit struggling. And over the years, we've accrued some debt. So I have some company debt and I have some personal debt, you know? And so now I'm at a place in my life where the company kind of help, you know, I kind of need it to pay for the debt and, you know, and take care of other things. And it's just kind of like a catch 22 situation. But I know that if I'm going to be in Westerville doing what I believe God's called us to do, I want to be full time. So I've been praying. I'm like, God, you've got to find a way. You know, who would buy this company? And I've never sold a company. It's not worth a ton, but it's worth enough to me to put us in a position we could be full-time in Westerville. I'm like, God, you got to open up a door here. Help me. Out of nowhere, one of my competitors is interested in buying my company. I'm like, are you serious? So I'm negotiating back and forth. It's just a couple months ago. We're negotiating, we're talking, I'm trying to get an offer. I'm trying, you know, we're going through all the rigmarole. I'm sending him financials. We go to meet in Dayton. I call some buddies. I'm like, look, you gotta pray. Pray that this meeting goes well. I do not want to blow this, okay? So I'm driving to Dayton, you know, it's like 90 minutes. I'm kind of driving. I'm like, all right, God, here's the deal. It's gotta be a good offer. And I hope this guy likes me. I hope he likes the business model. God, please, you know, but also God, you know, I represent you. It's your company in the first place. I'll do whatever you say. And I represent you here today. Do what you want. I go into the meeting. The guy asks me, he goes, so you're becoming a pastor? I'm like, well, yeah, I've always been kind of a pastor doing this bivocationally. He's like, so you're going to do this full time. How'd you become a pastor? I'm like, bingo. Like I said, and I just started telling him how Jesus changed my life. I started talking about how, you know, as Christ became in me, he started to change me from the inside out. And I'm so committed to who Christ is that I just want everyone to know Jesus. And I've dedicated my life to that. I said, can I ask you a question? He's like, yeah. I said, what's your faith background? He goes, well, you know, I kind of grew up like this. I'm like, wow, it's just like me and my dad, you know? I said, my dad became a believer of Christ in his 40s. He's like, is that right? I'm like, yeah. I said, let me tell you what happened. I said, he grew up in his church believing if he went every week, if he did all the right things, if he did the things they told him to do and these ceremonies and all this stuff, that he would hope that when he got to heaven one day, there were like these scales. And if he could have good would outweigh the bad, then he'd be fine with God. As I'm talking, I see his eyes kind of light up. I go, here's the problem with my dad. My dad never had any peace because he never knew if he had done enough good. So he kept trying over and over and sometimes harder and he never had peace. So what happened was he was introduced to the Bible through a Bible study. And in that Bible study, the guy who was teaching just explained to him over and over again the gospel. And what happened with my dad is he came to this conclusion. If we could earn it back, if we could do enough good, why would Jesus have to die? That makes no sense. If we could do it, why does he die? Why would God send his son to die if we could earn it back? And I said, and that's when my dad realized this was all about what Jesus did. It was about him dying to pay the penalty for all of us that we could not pay. And my dad became a follower of Christ. I told the guy across the table, I said, look, my dad decided to become a follower of Christ and it changed his life. So I'm driving home from Dayton and I call my friend who, you know, had been praying for me. He's like, how'd it go? I'm like, he gave us an offer. I mean, it's not a bad offer. I think it's gonna do it. He's like, really? I'm like, yeah. And I got to share the gospel with him. He's like, you did? I'm like, yeah. He goes, I don't know if I would have done that. Did it occur to me that the guy might be like, oh, I don't want to work with you? Did it occur to me that he might think, you're a Jesus freak? Yeah, it occurred to me. Would it occur to me that he would pull the offer? Yeah, it occurred to me, but here's the deal. I'm looking across eyeball to eyeball with a guy who needs to hear this message. It's that important. And I'm more concerned with him hearing the gospel than I'm getting this deal done. You see, when you remember what Jesus has actually done for you, when it occurs to you, you remember that, it supersedes your circumstances. I think the second thing that I want to share is this, is that the gospel message is powerful. That next verse in Colossians says this, in verse 5, it says, be wise in the way you act towards outsiders and make the most of every opportunity. It says, be wise. Now, I'm going to get back to that in a second. But it says, make the most of every opportunity. In some Bibles, it says this, to redeem the time. Now look, I think the reason that most churchgoers do not share the gospel with people are for a few reasons. The first one is, we just take the gospel for granted. You know, we're like, oh yeah, I remember when I responded to the gospel. You know, I'm in the kingdom. And then it's like, all right, I'll just live my life. Like, we forget, you know? I don't know if you're like me. Sometimes I'm just self-absorbed in my little world stuff and I just don't pay attention. And so we need to be told to remember the gospel. I think a big reason we don't share it is just we're afraid of how people are gonna react. And we're afraid that what if they ask us a question and we can't answer it? You know, am I gonna be clever enough? What if I don't know what to say? Let me give you some wisdom that I learned. You do not have to be clever. You just have to be clear. Romans 1:16 says this, for I am not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. You don't need to be clever, you just need to be clear. I was at Office Max a couple years ago. I was in there, I was buying my stuff, you know, whatever it was, had a couple bags worth of stuff, and I'm walking out to my car, and just as I'm walking to my car, I hear someone behind me say, Ed. I'm like, hey, dude I went to high school with. Hadn't seen him in 20 years. I'm like, what's going on? He's like, yeah, it was, you know, we're just jacking, you know. And he says to me, he goes, so what are you doing now? I'm like, you believe this? I'm a pastor. He goes, really? I'm like, yeah, I know. You know, he goes, how'd you do that? I'm like, phew. You know, so I just start telling him how Jesus changed my life. You know, he goes, well, speaking of spirituality, you know, I've had kind of a cool experience. I said, what happened? He goes, well, I don't know if you knew, but I struggled with alcohol addiction for a lot of years. I said, yeah, I kind of heard that stuff. And he goes, you know, I struggled for lots of years and, you know, but I've been clean for like, you know, 3 or 4 years now. I said, is that right? What happened? He goes, well, you know, I work the steps. And every day I get down on my knees and I pray to God, because one of those steps is to remember that there's a higher power and you need that, because you don't have the power in and of yourself to overcome this addiction. Now, as he's talking, here's what I was thinking. He believes God, no question. I think that he's trying to put some trust in God. He just has not known the gospel yet. He doesn't know Jesus. So I said, you know what? I said, do you remember my brother? He's like, oh yeah. I'm like, did you know he was an alcoholic for like 10 years? He's like, he was? I'm like, yeah. And I just started telling him about his life. I said, you know what happened with my brother? He believed in God too. He actually, you know, understood the message of the gospel. He decided at his rock bottom, he felt Jesus was putting his hand on his shoulder saying, take my hand now. And my brother decided to surrender his life to Jesus. And that gave him the power over his addiction. He's been clean for 18 years. He serves in his church and he does recovery ministry for people who have struggled with addiction. He's like, is that right? I'm like, yeah. That was it. I mean, I left, he left. I mean, because of Facebook, we were able to like connect a little bit. Randomly, 2 years later, I get a message that says, hey. I'm like, dude, that's random. And then I get this message. I wanted to tell you that my wife and I are getting baptized Sunday. I said, dude, that's awesome. The Lord must be working in your life and in your family. What a great picture for your daughter to see. Where are you guys going to church? I think you said you live in Hilliard. He said, we go to Life Point on Dublin Road. I've been hearing a lot about planting seeds lately and I can trace my walk to us running into each other at Office Max a couple years ago. Listen, when you remember the gospel, the message is powerful. You might think, oh man, I should have said this or said that or said this. But the gospel message works in the hearts of people who are seeking after God. When they are open to hearing, God uses the message in them and through the Holy Spirit. That's what opens them up. It's not you trying to figure out a way to argue your way into their minds or hearts. It doesn't work. Just be clear. So when you remember the gospel this week, remember the message is important and it is powerful. And lastly, I just wanna share something I think will help, especially us dudes, okay? Guys, we have a tendency sometimes that as God has changed us, we change our behavior, right? And sometimes we look at other people's behavior and we wanna let them know how they should be living, okay? I don't know if you identify with that, but I get it. So here's what I wanna say. Go heavy on the grace and light on the salt, okay? The next passage says this, let your conversation be always full of grace and seasoned with salt so that you may know how to answer everyone. See, what happens when we get into these conversations with people, you know, we look at how they're living and we just wanna like, you know, pour salt down their throat. Here's the deal, you know what? When you take a little bit of salt, it makes everything taste better. But when you put too much in, it's impalatable. People can't hear it. And that's what happens when you start to hammer on people's behavior. You're just like throwing salt down their throat and they can't hear it. So when it says go light on, you know, the salt, but heavy on the grace, remember the grace that was afforded to you. It says to know how to answer everyone. That means you're listening to them. And as you're listening to them and you remember the gospel, you remember what God gave you with that grace and you wanna share it with others. So this week, when you're thinking about people who need to hear the gospel, be more concerned that they understand the gospel and understand the grace and mercy that God has given, and a little less concerned about trying to police their behavior. I share that with you as someone who's always trying to remember the gospel in that. So listen, if you're here and you feel like, you know, I've been a follower of Christ, I've responded to the gospel, I just wanna challenge you this week. I wanna sharpen you up and ask you, would you consider praying, God, use me, make me awake to an opportunity? You know, when it says to redeem the time, what he's saying there is, look, we should be on the lookout and it should cost us something. Sure, I know it's easy to get busy with other stuff and it's easy to be self-absorbed. It costs something to be on the lookout for opportunities. Pray for an opportunity this week that God would use you to share the gospel. And let me just say one last thing. If you're here and, you know, when you hear these things, you start to feel that tension inside and you believe God, but you still have that feeling inside, like, am I okay with God? I just wanna share one last thing with you. The last few months, I've been doing premarital counseling with this couple and they would come over and Tammy and I would talk with them and, you know, and so we decided, you know, on their last visit, we were gonna order in dinner for them. So we called a local restaurant up on Players Parkway and, you know, we called in the order, and as I'm calling in the order and giving them all the details, the young girl said, can I have a name for the order? I said, yeah, my name's Ed. She goes, oh, my dad's name is Ed. I'm like, okay, you know, so I mean, all right. So I go to the restaurant, you know, like 15 minutes later, and they have one of those little rooms where, you know, it's next to the restaurant, but, you know, you just go in and that's where you do your carryout business. So, you know, I go in and it's just her standing in the room, and I walk in, she goes, oh, what's the name for the order? I said, it's Ed. She goes, oh, it's not ready yet. I said, well, can I go ahead and pay for it? Because I'm thinking, you know, time, let's, you know, just get out of there. So I go in and I'm like, oh, let's pay for it. And I look at her name tag, it says Angela. I said, Angela, are you Ed's daughter? And she goes, ha, ha, yes, I'm Ed's daughter. You know, I'm like, I said, oh, you know, where are you guys from? She goes, well, he lives out of state and I live here. I said, what are you doing here? And she goes, well, I'm a college student at Ohio State. I'm getting ready to graduate. I said, is that right? I said, what are you graduating in? And she goes, psychology. I said, are you going on to grad school? Are you gonna become like a therapist? She goes, no. I'm like, well, why'd you take psychology? She goes, well, to be honest with you, I had to declare a major and I hated the coursework I was doing and I really like this coursework, so I just decided to do it, but I have no idea what I'm gonna do. I'm like, oh. I said, well, what drew you to the coursework? She goes, well, I just really love people. I care so much about people. I wanna be working with people and help people. I said, have you considered social work? She goes, yeah, but here's the deal. I care so much that sometimes I get a little bit too concerned with people's problems and I kind of take them on myself and I realize it's unhealthy. So I decided not to do that. I was like, I think that's pretty wise, you know? She goes, yeah. I said, well, have you thought about nursing? She goes, thought about it, I hate blood. I'm like, okay. I said, can I give you some advice? She's like, sure. I said, when you interview, here's what you do. You tell the company, you know, you say, look, I love people. I know I wanna work with people and I'm looking to work with a company that has a lot of people. So I took psychology so I would understand people, understand conflict management so that I could become an asset to a company. She goes, that's pretty good. I said, free of charge, you know? So I said, I said, Angela, so what? Where do you think you're gonna apply? She goes, that's the thing, I just don't know. I said, can I tell you, you know, I've been working with college students for like, you know, a lot of years down with the ministry at Ohio State. And year after year, I hear college students say that, man, they have to declare so early and they have no idea what they're gonna do. And it's just a real struggle. She goes, yeah. I said, can I ask you one more question? She goes, yeah. I said, how's your spiritual life been in college? And she just put her head down. Just, and I could see it. She goes, you know, that guilt in her. She's like, not very good. She goes, I went to church some in high school, but I just, you know. And just in that moment, I'm thinking, man, she feels the weight of her sin. I can just sense it. And just then, a woman comes in through the door carrying my food. I'm like, no! So we went over and the girl has to show me the food and I go through the whole order. I'm thinking, dang it, you know. So she goes back over and stands next to Angela. Doesn't even leave the room. I'm like, ugh. So I get the food and so I thought, I'm gonna say something. So I walked over to Angela. I said, Angela, I said, can I tell you why I asked you about your spiritual life? She goes, sure. I said, because I believe that God made every one of us for purpose and everyone is valuable to God. And if he made you in such a way that you have such a caring, you know, heart of empathy for others, there's a purpose in that. And I bet God wants to use you to make a difference in others' lives. And Angela, I just wanna challenge you to go towards God, to figure out what God is trying to do in your life. And as you start to understand God, you're gonna realize exactly why God made you. She goes, okay. So I started to leave, I got to the door, and I just turned around and I said, Angela, I said, I hope the next time I come here, I hope that you're gone. I hope you've landed your dream job. She goes, please remember me. I remember you, Angela. If you stumbled in here today, I think about you a lot. I pray for you a lot. I'm sharing that story today because I believe that she represents a lot of people in our lives that believe in God but have never made that connection from the head to the heart. And she needs to decide, I'm gonna give my life to Jesus and make sense of why she's even here. And if you're here in this room and that's you, that you're struggling with that tension, God wants to set you free. His grace and mercy sets you free from your sin. You can be made right with God. Let it sink into your heart today. So I just wanna offer you an invitation to become a follower of Christ. So here's what I'm gonna ask you to do. I'm gonna ask everyone to pray. So everyone close your eyes and bow your head. And for people in this room, you feel like I've already made that decision. I'm gonna ask you to pray right now that God would give you an opportunity this week to make a light for someone else for the gospel's sake. And if you're here and you have that tension, I'm gonna ask you, here's what you do. You simply say to God, God, I am sorry. God, I believe in your son. I believe he died for my sins. Please forgive me. Please come into my heart. Become my Lord and Savior. Help me to follow you. If you said that to God, I just want to tell you that you are now a brother or sister in Christ. And if you made that decision, I'm just gonna ask you to let me be the first one to know. Just kind of raise your hand up. I'm gonna pray for you this week. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Listen, I wanna pray for you right now. God, I'm praying for everyone in this room. This message is too important to leave in this room. I pray, Lord, you would make us lights in this world, that we would seize the opportunities by sharing a clear message of the gospel. God, I pray for those in this room who've just made this decision even for the first time. I pray, Lord, that you would put your Holy Spirit in them and change them from the inside out. Lord, I'm so grateful for what you're doing in and around us and through LifePoint, God, by the power of your Holy Spirit.